Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of In Accord. Now, you're probably like me and still recovering from the Feast of Tabernacles. It was a wonderful feast and in many ways one of the best ever for my wife and me. But we were worn out once we returned home. Services each day, dinner and fellowship each night, and travel to two sites took its toll on us. And given I am still recovering from heart valve replacement surgery in July, it is probably understandable that I would be tired. We arrived home on Wednesday, October the 15th, after some difficult travel arrangements. We visited two feast sites, Fort Myers and Myrtle Beach. Getting from Fort Myers to Myrtle Beach was the challenge. We spent 7 hours at the airport waiting for our flight from Fort Myers to Dallas and then to Myrtle Beach. Our flight was to leave Dallas at 12:30, but we did not leave until 8:30 that evening. Two different planes with mechanical problems, lost luggage, and then finally departure. We arrived in Myrtle Beach tired but happy to have arrived safely. Then on our return from Myrtle Beach to Dallas, there was another mechanical problem and we were delayed another hour, finally arriving home around 8:30 p.m. that evening. It was good to be home. Outside of our difficulties with planes, the feast itself was wonderful. Excellent messages and great fellowship. I was surprised how many people we knew from years gone by, especially at Myrtle Beach. The attendance at Fort Myers was in the 80s to 90s each day, and Myrtle Beach had 759 as their high attendance. We don't have all the attendance numbers from this year's feast just yet, but we should have them in the next week or so. From the initial reports, we should have around 12,000 again this year, slightly more than last year. Now, before I get to more news from the feast, let me give you an update on the work of the church, as well as a health update for me personally. I do have one announcement for you. Several of you are registered for Foundation Institute Online. These classes run from after the Feast of Tabernacles each year to the spring festivals. This year, the start date is set for Wednesday evening, October 22nd. This year, Dr. Levy will be covering the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. Mark this down on your calendar so you won't miss any of this year's classes. Let me now give an update on my health. This year, 2025, began on a busy note for me personally, and it continued through the first half of the year. In January, I was in London. In February, El Salvador. In March, New Zealand for Andre Van Belkom's retirement. Also, March in Reno, Nevada, to visit Jim and Barbara Chapman, a retired minister, and his wife. April in Argentina. April also in Tampa to discuss the work in Latin America with Leon and Reba Walker. May in Boston for a funeral of an old friend. June in Orlando for Dick Thompson's memorial. And also in June in St. Louis for John Foster's retirement. Then during the last week of June, all my travel came to an end, when I had heart valve replacement surgery on July 1st. This was unexpected, but necessary since I needed to correct a birth defect with my aortic valve, having only two leaves, called a bicuspid, as opposed to the three leaves of a normal valve. I did not travel or speak for the next 3 months during my rehabilitation. This year's feast was the first time I had done any travel in more than 3 months, and it was the first time I had spoken in services since June. During this year's feast, I spoke 6 times in 2 weeks, which was a bit of a stretch given my surgery. Overall, I felt really good, but there were some days that I was dragging a bit. All in all, it was a most wonderful feast, and my health has continued to improve. Now, as far as the church is concerned, this year has been a most extraordinary year. Certainly from a financial perspective, it has been our best year ever, as of the year to date. Now let's go to some other news of the church. As you know, during the middle of the feast in Uganda, 6 policemen showed up and took all the Rwandan members along with Mr. Meeker to the police station for questioning. Mr. Meeker returned to the hotel where the feast was being kept, but the Rwanda members were kept overnight. The next day, they were told that their immigration papers were not in order, and they had to pay a fine and then leave the country immediately. Well, the church paid the $1,500 fine and provided transport for the Rwandan members to go back to Rwanda. Mr. Meeker traveled to Rwanda as well that same day and confirmed that the Rwandan members arrived safely to their homes. He then traveled on to France, where he was scheduled to be for the remainder of the feast. Now, the situation in Rwanda is very sad. We still can't meet for services anywhere in the country since the church is not officially registered. We've been trying for several months to meet all the government demands for registration, but to no avail. But we will continue to work on that until we can be registered in the country. Now, the brethren had good attitudes and were thankful they got to attend one half of the feast. Now for an update on our new building. A lot happened while we were gone for the feast. On Monday, October the 6th, a construction trailer and fencing were added to the construction site. Now, no work was done on Tuesday, October the 7th. We have written into our contract that no work is to be done on Saturdays from sunset Friday to sunset Saturday, nor on any of the holy days. So no work was done on the first day of the feast, and then also on the eighth day of the feast, no work was done the last great day, and along with, of course, the Sabbaths. The workers resumed work on Wednesday, October the 8th, and when we arrived home and opened the office on Friday, October the 17th, we were amazed to see that so much work had been done. We are truly making progress. Now, the estimate is that the building will be completed by late summer or early fall 2026. Now, originally, we had hoped to begin the construction in April of this year, but there was one delay after another until this month, October, when we actually began moving dirt, preparing to pour the foundation. While we were disappointed in all the delay, it actually helped the church, as we had several additional months of income and we saw our reserves reach the highest levels in our history. Because of that, we have additional funds to pay for the building. We do not expect to have any debt once the building is completed. This is truly a wonderful blessing from God. Please continue to pray for our success with the construction of the building. Now let's go back to the Feast of Tabernacles. We had a remarkable story come out of Myrtle Beach while we were there for the last half of the feast. Let me read you the write-up that I received from Tom Schultz, the festival coordinator for Myrtle Beach. Rona Studdard, a member from the Birmingham, Alabama congregation, suffered a stroke on Thursday, October the 9th, the third day of the feast, while eating with some friends at a nearby restaurant. She was taken immediately to the hospital in Myrtle Beach, where it was discovered she had a blood clot in her brain. The doctors performed a surgery where they were able to remove 90% of the blood clot. She was given medication that would dissolve the rest. She was anointed that evening by Doug Johnson. Beginning the very next day, Friday, Rona was already sitting up, talking and eating, with full movement in her left hand and arms. By Sunday, they had her walking. She was released on Monday, just 4 days after her stroke, and was able to attend both services on the last great day. You couldn't even tell she had a stroke. The doctor said she wouldn't be able to drive, so a member from Birmingham, Alabama, was planning to drive her home. It seems that God indeed heard and answered our prayers for Rona. That was from Tom Schultz, the festival coordinator for Myrtle Beach. Now, I spent about 20 minutes talking with Rona during services on the last great day. While I did not recognize the name when I heard the story, I did remember her when I saw her at services. She is a longtime member from North Alabama. She reminded me that I had met her in Trenton, Alabama, for Dr. Tom Kirkpatrick's retirement several years ago. As Mr. Schultz said in his write-up, you could not tell that she had even had a stroke. It was so encouraging to see this story play out at Myrtle Beach. We were all praying for Rona. Once again, we saw an example of what James wrote in James chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Well, that will do it from here for now. Please have a most restful and peaceful Sabbath day. Next week, Doug Horchak, the operation manager for the international work, will bring you an update on what is happening in the church outside the United States. Until I see you again, goodbye for now.